All right, our scripture this morning, there were several in this week's lectionary, and I'm going to touch on a couple of them. I am reading both from the Old and New Testament because that is part of our message today. So from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30, and then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. He also gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and positioned them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. And he took away some of the spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, yet they did not do it again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were among those who had been registered but had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and informed Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the personal servant of Moses from his youth, responded and said, My lord Moses, restrain them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. In the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Amen. Well, as we talk about the Holy Spirit being poured out, that was the word that was in my mind this week, was poured. We've got some experience of being poured on this week, don't we? We've been poured on a lot. It's why we're giving thanks for the sunshine, because the rain has been falling and falling and falling. And Friday, I sat down and was working on the message, and I looked at the forecast for today, and I just knew that if I put it in my sermon, it would be sunny. Mm-hmm. On Friday, there was supposed to be a 75% chance of rain today.
Yeah.
And Doug Heddy, see, that's what I said. If you put it in your sermon, the sun will shine. So I need to preach about it supposed to rain.
God has a sense of humor.
I know God has a sense of humor. He made a lot of funny things. Doug Heddy says that in the next couple of weeks, we're supposed to see another 4 to 6 inches of rain here, which has me going, wow. In fact, we were talking on the way home. He said he was going to go out and mow, and I said, you going to mow the water? Because our front yard is water. Anybody else got a front yard full of water?
Yeah.
And I said, if we don't get it mowed, though, the grass is so tall since we've been gone, we're going to have snakes swimming around in the front yard, because I've seen that happen before. Mm. And so yesterday, as he went out and mowed, the very first thing he went on, I went out and I saw where he had hit a snake when he was mowing. Oh, see? We got snakes swimming in the front yard, because that's how much rain we've had. So when we talk about pouring rain, is it a little rain or a lot of rain?
A lot.
It is a lot of rain. So it's kind of been the topic of conversation. And as we were driving home, well, driving this whole trip back and forth on vacation, we've been talking a lot about pouring coffee. My husband and I are coffee drinkers. Is it everybody here coffee drinkers? Most of you coffee drinkers? No, not a coffee drinker. When we got married, he was not. I think I did that to him. I remember when we had our piano tuned the first time by the piano tuner who came here, we had to go buy a coffee maker because he would only come if we had coffee. And John said, well, I don't even like coffee. I said, we don't have a coffee maker, so we had to go buy one. And I don't remember, I think he was working two jobs and was drinking coffee to survive and became a coffee drinker. Are you, how's this side? Are we all coffee drinkers? Sammy's dead. So, we are both now, and on Saturdays, we like to pour a cup and sit down on our couch and look out at the pond and talk about what we're going to do for the day. Well, a couple weeks ago, I went to make coffee in my Keurig, because that's how we make our coffee, and we use the refillable pods, and, real fast and easy, and I put my pod in and got it going and went to the other room and came back, and there was only, like, this much coffee in my cup, but I had asked for this much coffee in my cup. And I said, aw, coffee maker didn't give me all my coffee. And John said, yeah, it's been happening to me a few times lately, too. Which says, the coffee maker's on his way out. Which, we've been buying a new one about every year and a half or 2 years, which seems too frequent to me to have to replace. That's how much we drink coffee, I'm sorry to say. And so several weeks ago when this started happening, I started talking to the experts in the field that I know of about their coffee maker preferences. And one of the people that I talk to about coffee makers sometimes is H. And one of them that I talk to is Brennan. See, they're the experts in the field because they like coffee. H has, have you always drank pour over coffee?
Most of the time,
because like you were the first place I saw that weird little thing on the counter with red, you know, and I was like, what is that?
The percolator.
Uh-huh. And he was explaining it all to me, and I was going, nope, don't get it. And then Brennan has become a very invested in coffee. When Brennan decides to nerd out about something, he goes all in. And so he buys raw beans, and he bakes his own beans, and he grinds his own beans. And he's got all these systems for making all different kinds of coffee. And so I ask him what he would choose. And he goes, well, you know, I would choose the pour over method. And so he actually told me about a machine that kind of does a pour over method. So I've been talking about what method to pick. And I have had the thing in my cart on Amazon, but not pulled the trigger on buying it. When we got down to Wisconsin and we were having our campfire on Wednesday night, and I said to Lexi, you know, we're going to get rid of our Keurig. Don't suppose you need one, haha. And she said, oh, well, Patrick and I prefer pour over because it's just as fast for us. Because my big problem is when they're explaining how to use these, I'm going, that was way too much trouble.
Right. Yeah.
And she said, oh, but it's just as fast for us and it's, you know, just cheaper in general. So I started investigating more pour over coffee. How many of you have made pour over coffee? Sammy has. Has anybody else even seen it? Know how you do it? Okay, so I almost brought all the things. So the simplified, I guess this is a simplified system. I still don't know exactly how your percolator works. Don't you set your whole thing on the stove?
Yes.
Okay, so a pour over method, you have a kettle. A gooseneck kettle is best because they have a very skinny, long neck, and you can have the water go where you want. And so you heat your kettle, and then you have a carafe of some sort that has a cone-shaped reusable filter that sits on top, and you heat your water, you put your grounds inside your cone, and then you pour the water over it at your speed, and it goes on down into your carafe so you can serve your coffee. So it's like an archaic way of making coffee, sort of. Because you're doing it all by hand. Well, some of the things that make it better is, for one, the temperature of the water. I never knew it till we started actually thinking about our coffee, and then we were in a coffee shop in Wisconsin, Luna Coffee, and they had all these different ones for sale, and on the tag of the shelf, did not come on the bag, that would have been handy, it said temperatures. Different temperatures work for different beans better. So if you can set your temperature and heat the water to just the right temperature, it makes your coffee better. You get more out of your grounds. The quality of grounds makes a difference. Somebody at Rich will come up afterwards and said it's all about the grounds. But the most prominent thing is we pour out that water ourselves. We make the water go through the grounds at our speed. When you have a drip and it's going down into the little hole of our little pods, it's all being forced down in that one spot. So when you pour it over yourself, you have control over how quickly the water flows through you and how thoroughly the water goes through. All of our grounds get wet. I had noticed when I dumped out our coffee pods that half the grounds were dry a lot of the time.
Really?
Ever seen that happen? Like our little Keurig was leaving a lot of dry grounds and it was like pulling dry jeans back out of the washing machine. You know, oh man, this didn't get done. And to me, not only do I know my coffee's going to have less flavor, but also it's a waste. You know, it's just something that's not being utilized. But by pouring that water, we can pause and let gravity work. We can move the stream. My son says, Mom, you should start at the inside and draw a little bullseye, and then after the water drains down, you should start at the outside and go to the inside and alternate. To me, again, I'm going, yeah. And then let it go down and do it again. We've been experimenting now, haven't we? Well, while riding shotgun on the way home from Wisconsin, I pulled the trigger on Amazon, and I bought my pot, and I bought the carafe and cone. So the new set got here Thursday, and we've been experimenting this weekend with how to make coffee quick and also, you know, work well for us. And whether I use a filter or not use a filter and all of these different things. Did you know your filter, this is totally off the subject again, but did you know the filter filters out a lot of the oils and helps reduce cholesterol if you use a paper filter? So now I have paper filters too, because it's like, oh yeah, we probably need to not have the...
You got the brown one, Dove?
I did. I got brown ones. So you'll have to look and make sure I got good filters. Brennan looked at him and he goes, did you get the right filter for your cone, Mom? Because this looks a little flatter on the bottom than your cone. And I went, now you're getting too particular on me.
Right?
I was like, I've got the filter. It does taste very different. We literally had a coffee tasting yesterday morning to try what it tastes like filtered versus not. And there is a big difference. But it will lower your cholesterol if you put, well, it helps your LDLs. Brennan said, oh, I didn't know that. I need a filter because my LDLs are high. So now that you have your coffee lesson, you might be going, so what has this got to do with Pentecost? Well, so today I mentioned that it is Pentecost, 50 days after resurrection, and I'm going, wait, resurrection was on a Sunday, Pentecost is on a Sunday, that doesn't math out to 50. Easter is day one, and so there's 49 days between, and this is the last day of Easter. So Easter is done today, and in our different readings today, and I told you there were multiple, one of them was from the book of John, so we're talking New Testament, book of John, Chapter 7, verse 39, I read this, and it said, but this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. And I read that from the book of John, and I went, but wait, back in Moses' time, there was talk of God taking some of his Spirit off of himself and putting it on people in the Old Testament. So if it was back here with Moses, but it's not yet in the book of John, how does that math work? And so that's kind of why I decided to bring you that lesson from the book talking about Moses. I was curious how we did have the Spirit, but in John they did not. In the book of Joel, also Old Testament, he was a prophet, and he said in chapter 2, verses 28-29, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So that's a future word, will. I will do, meaning I have not yet done. And those were the words that Peter spoke on Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came on all the disciples, Peter repeated the words of Joel, said, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. So again, I was going, okay, I want to understand this better. Will, but not yet there. And yet, hundreds of years after Moses. So Moses happened in about 1,200 years before Jesus was born. Joel happened about 800 years before Jesus was born. So even though we got way before, and here we're reading about the Spirit, even Joel in the Old Testament was still saying, will but not yet. And in the New Testament we have, will but not yet. So then I'm trying to figure it out. Well, if we look back in Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25, when they're talking about this event that happened in Moses' time, it says, the Spirit rest upon them, and they prophesied. But the very next line says, yet they did not do it again. In other words, like that Spirit was given in that moment when it was needed, and then that was it. It was sort of a temporary thing. So Moses was overworked, fella. He had a lot going on. He was needing help. He needed to not be doing all the work on his own. And so God enabled these witnesses around to be filled with the Spirit, but it was temporary. I took part of my Spirit, I put it in them, they spoke, and then they were done. It was kind of a one-time deal. And Moses gives voice to that in verse 29 when he says, if only, aren't those wishful words? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. So Moses was wishfully thinking that wouldn't it be nice if everyone could have the Spirit all the time. So in Jesus' time, he tells his followers that part of the promise of God, part of the new covenant between God and the people, is that we would have a helper, that we would have the Spirit poured out upon us. All of the people, the voices that guide us on the right path, that's the Holy Spirit, and all people have that. The Comforter who holds all of our hearts, we are God's people, and that is the Spirit. The Spirit fills our minds with understanding so we can all be used as resources to do God's work, speaking, teaching, creating, and giving witness. So before Pentecost, many of God's children were dry grounds. They were there. They were willing. I am certain they had the gifts. They were just not able because God had not poured through all of the people resources that weren't getting used. Some were poured into, but not all. And even those who received the Spirit only received it for a short time. But on Pentecost, God's Spirit visibly, audibly, and fully poured into the 11, enabling them to instantly rise up and speak languages they've never spoken before, to have understanding they never had before, to be able to communicate with people they never could communicate with before. So Pentecost is one of those days that I've always been very excited about. I love the imagery of thinking about what tongues of fire look like coming down on the heads and filling the disciples, and what it must have been like to be outside the room and to hear this mighty rushing wind, and it's all coming from inside that room. Must have had Taco Bell. And all the things that were going on, like I've always thought, what an incredible thing. But now this year I've added that understanding that pouring, not a sprinkling, not a few get it, but not everyone gets it. Abundance. Pouring is a lot. So much that cannot be contained in the Holy Spirit, I don't think is meant to be. So now, because of Pentecost, everyone is able to use their gifts and to be used by God. Now in artesian coffee, like I was talking about, that pouring is controlled by the person who puts the water over the grounds, right? You cover these and then you cover those. You can make it a lot or a little. You can really adjust it to what you're trying to do with your coffee. It's one of the things that makes it extra special. I imagine our God, our Creator, holding that stream of Spirit in His hand, pouring it generously, but also with great intention, and specifically putting it where it needs to be, personally on each of us, to bring out our best and all of our beauty. Aren't we glad that we live on this side of Pentecost and none of us are left dry? Aren't we glad that God cares so much for us as individuals that He would craft His Spirit to land in us the way that He has planted our gifts within us? So Pentecost is not meant to be just something we come to church on Pentecost Sunday and go, oh, wasn't that really cool, and then go back out and forget about it. It was not meant to be secondary to current events or holidays or anything else. It is meant to be a day to start over again, anew, robustly. That Spirit was not poured out so that people could simply feel it in one moment and then never again. It was poured out so that us ordinary people could live differently, could speak differently, could hear differently, could love people that we didn't even know we could even communicate with, let alone love. We have been filled so that we can serve differently. One of the things that did not happen on Pentecost, you know, the Pentecost is sort of the answer to the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel happened, nobody could understand each other anymore. That was the way to confuse people and have them quit trying to be this power of their own. And so now God breaks down that wall on Pentecost so people could understand one another again. But what he did not do was make everybody the same. Everybody wasn't gifted with the same thing all at once. Some of them preached. Peter got up and spoke, but he was the only one. Not everybody stood and said things at that time. Some of them taught. Some encouraged. Some were welcoming people in. Some were able to heal. Some were the ones who organized things. Some prayed. Some created, because we need creativity. And some simply went and stood by others who were hurting so that they would not be alone. The miracle of Pentecost is that not everyone was the same. And that miracle is still with us today. This week, I invite you to practice Pentecost intentionally. Every morning, asking, Holy Spirit, where are you pouring through me today? And then take what we hear from the Spirit, because we all have it, and do something intentionally because of it. Because the faith is poured into us, it draws out our completeness. If we, the church, live like people that have been filled with the Spirit, the world around us will see, smell, and taste faith in action. Something powerful and alive and warm and abundant. And like good coffee, we will be fully saturated in the Spirit of God. May God pour generously on all of us today. May the Spirit soak every part of our hearts, and may our lives be strong and rich and loving so that the world tastes Christ in who we are. Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for the gift of your Spirit that was poured on the heads of the disciples that awoke in the spirits within them, that counseled and preached and communicated with the crowds outside the walls that thought no one was ever going to speak to them again. Lord, may we be made bold by your Spirit and live it with love and generosity. Lord, we know that you are the giver of all good things, and you have greatly blessed us, and we've praised your name for it today. So may the gifts that we offer today be a reflection of how grateful we are. And as your Spirit-filled people, we do not give out of obligation, but in response to your love. Use what we bring to fuel the witness of your church, to bless those who need to hear your hope, to build a community where all people are seen, heard, and loved. May our giving, like your Spirit, be poured without limit. In your name we pray. Amen.